Going to be in John chapter 13, and I'll start there in verse 1. The Bible said, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and lay aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, Thee that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and pray now for your presence and your power. Lord, as the preaching goes forth, we pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, you'll reveal anything in our life, Lord, that's not pleasing in your sight. Lord, that you'll convict us where we need it. And Lord, if we're those here that may be lost, Lord, we pray you convict their heart. They'll see their need of calling on your name. We're thankful that you went to the cross, died for us, that we could have eternal life. Lord, I pray we not take that for granted. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is A Relationship with Jesus. Of course, this is Palm Sunday. Traditionally, pictures of the week is, of course, a week before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to have communion today as well. And we're on the eve of our revival service. So, as I said, we have a lot of things going on today. Jesus had instituted what we call the communion or the Lord's Supper or the communion. Communion, that means fellowship, and it speaks of this here relationships. The title of the message today is A Relationship with Jesus, and that's really what everything's all about, mostly. I don't like to use the term too much, saved, anymore. I ask people, well, if they're saved, they say, oh yeah, I got saved, and a lot of times, and I know when, there's a point in time when a person's saved, that they ask Christ to come in their life, and they can remember that point in time. But, that's not the end of salvation. And a lot of people, if you ask them if they were saved, they say, well, I got saved on such and such a date. But it's like a point in time where that's the end of the whole thing. And I like to ask people this. I'd ask somebody the other day if they were saved, and they said, well, I got saved back at such and such a time, but they said, but they kind of didn't really know. I said, look, let me ask you this. Do you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ where he's on the throne of your life every day? And they said, no. I said, then you're not saved. Then you're not saved. That's really what you have to look at it that way. So I want to look at, there's four relationships in the text today that I want us to look at that'll help us understand whether we have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. The very first relationship we see is the Jesus relationship with the Father in verses 1 through 5. We see that. And as I got to reading in the Bible, and as I do read in the Bible all the time, I see this, that about everywhere, when Jesus was on the earth, everywhere that he went, His disciples were there with him. You know, they just didn't want to be separated from him. Very rare. I mean, a couple times he sent them away to do something. But most of the time when Jesus was around, they were around with Jesus. You know, day in, day and night. Even one of those guys was a fake, by the way, and he was even around a day and night. And they didn't have a set time like, you know, well, we're going to fellowship. Okay, fellas, listen, everybody, let's coordinate our watches, set them, you know, at a certain time. And we're going to fellowship with Jesus from 11 to 12, 10 a.m. And then that's it. Okay, Jesus, your time's up. We're done with the fellowship. We're going to go, just a certain amount. Or, you know, we're going to give you Sunday morning. We're going to give you Sunday night. We're going to give you Wednesday night. But the rest of the time, we're not going to have any fellowship with you at all. You know, it's just a constant thing. And Jesus had that kind of relationship with the Father. And what he did was based on what he knew. You know, and there's a lot of things that he knew, but I like this one right here the best, or not the best, but for today. He said this. He said, I know my hour has come. My hour is come. And I believe this, that there's a divinely appointed hour, and I think there's more than one, really, when I look at it. I know there was a divinely appointed hour the time we were born. There's also a divinely appointed hour the day you're going to die, the hour that you're going to die. We all got that. We got that hour right there. And there may be some other things along the way. There's a time, I think this, that there's a divinely appointed hour when it's time to consider Jesus Christ. There's one thing there. You know, I look back over my life and I can look back. I couldn't see it at the time. But man, I can look back when I got saved and I see the events, the things that led up now looking back. I can look back and see how God was appointing things that got down there, and it got down right to the time when it finally just came. I mean, I knew about Jesus all my life. I knew about the resurrection. I knew about the cross. I knew about all that. I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't doubt it. I believed it in my head. The problem was it wasn't in my heart yet. And I remember there was a time, and there was a divinely appointed time. It's right now. And I remember thinking that. And I didn't know nowhere's half of what I knew now. I know now about the Bible. But I remember thinking, you know what? I was about 31 years old. I said, you know what? Right now, God is dealing with me right now. I had a feeling that this was my time. I had a feeling that if I rejected Jesus Christ and didn't get saved, I might never get saved. It was a divinely appointed hour, a time to get saved. I told a man and his wife the other night that got saved. I was talking to him. I said, look, there's a divinely appointed time in your life. I said, this is it. I said, you know, God's been dealing with you for months and for weeks leading up. And I said, I'm here right now. And I got the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, you know, this is your time to get saved. And they said, yep, we believe it is. That we believe it is. And they went ahead and got saved. And listen, there's a time when God deals with us for salvation. I think there's a time when God deals with Christians as far as service goes. And I got to thinking about it. If we're ever going to do anything for God, we better do it now. I thought about this before, man. I mean, I turned 60 in September. And I said, you know what? If I'm going to do half of what I want to do for God, I better start doing it now. I better get on or get going, man. If I'm going to do anything for God, because I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be an hour when the Lord comes back. And whatever you're going to do for God in this life, you better do it now. You're not going to lead anybody to the Lord in heaven. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you get saved, you don't lead anybody, you better get them now. You better go out and get them now. Listen, man, it's a divinely appointed time. And Jesus knew that his hour had come. From a human standpoint, it meant suffering. From a divine standpoint, it meant glory. I was thinking about, Jesus Christ could not be killed. He could not even be arrested until it was his time, his hour. I was thinking about this the other day, man. I'll tell you what, when I was going out, I went out, I led 3 people to the Lord in 2 days. Man, I was on a roll, man. God saves them. I told my Sunday school class, you know, well, how'd you do it? I said, I'll tell you how I did it. I tried. I just tried. I talked to them about the Lord instead of keeping my mouth shut, keeping the gospel hid, not being such a chicken I wouldn't talk to anybody about the gospel. I talked to them about it, man. There's more people out there that wants to get saved than you know about. But you just got to open up your mouth and do what God tells you to do. Believe His Word. He'll give you the power to do it. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the strength to do it. You've got to do that. And I was thinking about it, though. When you're in the will of God, I had a mission, man. I left that thing the other day. I was on a mission from God. I was going to go witness to two people, and I had one other guy I wanted to see. There wasn't nobody on God's green earth. There wasn't nobody going to kill me that time right there. There ain't no way in the world. God wasn't going to let me die. I was riding on my motorcycle. You better be in the will of God. You ride a motorcycle around town. I was riding down Electric Avenue, brother. I'm going to tell you what. You got your life in your hands right there. I was going down the road, but I knew this. Listen, while we're serving God, when we're serving God, there's nothing. God, we can't be killed. We're immortal. We're immortal. If God's got something for you to do, if God's got another thing, now I'm not saying you couldn't be serving God and your time to die doesn't come up, but if there's a soul you need to talk to, I'm telling you what, God's going to get you there. And there wasn't no way when Jesus was 3 years on earth, they wanted to arrest him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff one time. They couldn't do it because his hour hadn't come yet. They couldn't get him off of the side of the mountain, but they couldn't even arrest him till the time had come. Listen, Jesus said in John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Boy, that's a verse right there. Boy, that ought to be a life verse for you right there. As a Christian, listen, our deal is this now. We're not here to do our will. We're here to do the will of the one that saved us and the one that sent us after he saved us right there. That's a relationship that Jesus had with the Father, the relationship that we should have with Jesus Christ. I want you to see the second thing. There's another relationship that we can look at today, and that's the relationship that Jesus had with Peter. The relationship, you see it in chapters or in verse 6 up through 11. They were talking about washing people's feet. Now, that's a little bit odd for us, but it wasn't odd in that day. It was a common thing. People wore sandals. They walked around on, they didn't have paved roads. They walk around on dusty roads. Your feet would get dirty. You could be clean. You went to the bathhouse. You got clean. They had public baths. You head back down the road. Guess what? Dust would get on your feet and up on your legs. So what do? You go in, and all the people had at their house, it was just like us having a doormat. They had a basin and water there. Now, a lot of times you went in, you had to wash your feet yourself, but you had a place to wash the dirt off your feet. Just be comfortable. You know how it feels. You can get that dust on there. And then, if they were wealthy and they had a servant might do it. A servant might wash the feet there. But there we see Jesus, that he gets down there. Here he is. He's the Lord. They're starting to understand who Jesus is. They're starting to understand it. And Jesus, he girded himself up, took his robes and tied them up so they wouldn't get in the way. And he got down there and he washed their feet, started washing their feet. Man, this confused Peter. And Peter says, "Why should Jesus, my Lord, act like a servant and wash my feet?" What he didn't understand was that Jesus was a servant. He was his servant, and he was his Savior, and he was going to go to the cross. And dying on the cross was far more humbling than getting down and washing somebody's feet. Amen. That was a humbling experience to do that. And he showed this, listen, there's a lot of things that go on with foot washing and what it all meant and all this. And we know that we're washed when we're washed all over by the blood of the Lamb, but then we walk through the world. I understand that. And we get our feet dirty. We get dirty right there. But I want you to see it this way. He showed the importance of keeping our feet clean in the spiritual way. See, you can't walk with Jesus with dirty feet. That'd be a good title to the message, right? You can't walk with Jesus with dirty feet. Because being defiled hurts our communion with God. It hurts our communion with our Lord. Being defiled feet hurts our fellowship with the Lord. Listen to this. Where you walk can defile you. Because guess what? Your feet aren't going there alone. Wherever your feet go, you, the rest of you goes. Your head, your eyes, your brain, your heart, everything goes where your feet go. I know your head's telling your feet where to go, but get the picture here. Wherever your feet go, the rest of you go. We can be defiled by where we walk. You take the rest of your body. Listen, our relationship with Jesus Christ in a positional sense is settled, but our communion with him is dependent upon us keeping ourselves undefiled and unspotted from the world. The blood of Christ cleanses us once for all. But boy, we walk through this world and we get dirty. You know what the Bible says? You know how you cleanse your mind? Cleanse your mind by the washing of the water of the Word of God. This is what cleanses your mind. This is what cleanses your heart. This is what cleanses your soul, the washing of the water. And then we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and we have communion with Jesus Christ. And another lesson that we learned with Peter right here, and we talked about it, that he said, Lord, you know, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have no part with me. And he said, listen, then wash it all. He said, well, he said, now listen, you don't need it all. You know, the blood of Christ has washed everything else. He said, which would happen. And he said, you just need to have your feet washed. That's all you need right there, to that defilement from day-to-day life right there. But we learn this right here. Don't question the Lord's will. Don't question the Lord's work. And don't try to tell the Lord what to do. He said, Lord, you're not washing my feet. He tried to tell him that. He said, Jesus, you're not going to the cross. And what Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Don't try to tell the Lord what to do. Don't try to question his will. Don't try to question his work. So we see Peter, he had a relationship with the Lord. That was an honest relationship as well. And then we see Jesus and the disciples, and I like this. Look at verse 17. This is a great little verse right here. It says this, it said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There's a key right here that happiness is not in what you know, but it's in what you do. He didn't say, if you know these things, you're happy. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If ye do them. See, a lot of people know a whole lot more than what they're doing. That's the problem with us. We know a lot more than what we're doing. And the sequence is humbleness, holiness, happiness. Happiness, last Sunday night I preached a message on byproducts. Byproducts are products, you're making one thing, but it produces another byproduct that can be useful in another way. You can sell it off. I had a better definition than what I'm giving you now, but that's basically what it is right there. Happiness is a byproduct of a life that's lived in the will of God. You know, and I'm not telling you, listen, I'm telling you the other day, I'm not saying this to brag on me or anybody else, but the other day, Harold Vaughn, you know, he had the prayer advance going on, and Sherry and I, we told him and Debbie, said, look, anything we can do to help y'all out. Debbie had breast cancer surgery, and she'd been taking radiation, you know, wears you out. And we said, we can help you if you want to. Harold said, look, I'd like to have some men down there. He said that could kind of greet the ladies, just kill them with kindness, welcome them to the prayer advance, and help with drag their bags, you know, all into the motel form right there. And you know, so Larry and I went down there and text. I see he's not here today, but we all went down there and we helped out. Now I want to tell you something about this. We weren't the guest of honor. They didn't call Pastor Boone to come down there and preach to the ladies. Aren't y'all glad of that? Amen, ladies. They didn't call Pastor Boone to come. I wasn't the guest of honor. We weren't the keynote speaker. We weren't the special thing singers. There's another amen for you right there. What we were was we was the bellhops. We just hauled bags in. That's what we did, luggage. I'm telling you the truth, man. They just stayed two nights. You'd have never known. And one lady, I told her, I don't know if you were coming to the prayer advance or running away from home. She said, both. She said, amen. I said, both. I said, well, that's good right there. But listen, I tell you what, we did all that, man. It was fun. It was exciting. We did it. And I said, man, I'm on a mission. I got on my motorcycle. Like I said, I'm going down to the VA. I'm a witness to somebody. I had two other people in line I was going to go see that night. I said, I'm going to go out there and tell them about Jesus Christ. Yeah, there was other stuff I could have done. There was other things I might have could have done. But I'll tell you what I was doing then. I'll tell you what. I was riding down the road on my bike. I got one of them modern ones. It's got the radio and everything, Bluetooth and in there. Had Southern Gospel coming off on the thing. And the song, It Is Well With My Soul, came on the radio. It's playing. I look at the sky. It was all blue over here. The mountain was there and the trees and a couple of them white little puffy clouds. And I'm going to tell you something. It was well with my soul. It was well with my soul. As a matter of fact, it was so well with my soul. I was riding down and I found out. I said, you know what, you idiot, you're grinning. I'm riding down the mountain like this. I'm riding down Electric Avenue. Yeah, I'm riding along grinning. How y'all doing? Hey, people over there beside me, how you doing? Man, I was just feeling good, man. I had a grin on me. And listen, I wasn't on dope. I wasn't drinking alcohol. I wasn't running around on my wife. I wasn't doing all that other stupid stuff that people do to try to have fun. I'm going to tell you something. I was just doing what God wanted me to do, man. I was going to go try to lead somebody to Christ. I said, and I was down there helping out some ministry that people had, that Harold had for the ladies. And I'm going to tell you what, I had this overwhelming feeling in my soul that it is well with my soul. Huh? Man, I tell you what, I felt good. Amen. I was a blessing right there. Boy, I mean, when you get to where you just grinning, what are you grinning about, man? I don't know. I just teeth, man. It's a good thing I had a windshield. You know what they say about a happy motorcycle rider? You can tell them because they got bugs all over your teeth right there. But I didn't have it, man. That was it, man. Listen, this, you know, God, man, Jesus magnified service. Jesus magnified service. He said, listen, get down here. Listen, I'm telling you, honest God, I don't want y'all washing my feet, man. I'll tell you, it'd be worse for you, me, than it would be you, I think. But you know how you'd feel, right? And I'm pretty sure most of you, now somebody, some strange sort, probably say, no, I'd like you to wash mine. I try to get my wife to rub mine. She won't even rub them, but much less wash them. But he said, you know what? Service. He's not giving us a commandment that we got to wash each other's feet, thank God. He's just saying, listen, when you're serving somebody else, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy right there. Man, I'm telling you what, it was great. Somebody, listen, the world says, how many people work for you? And Jesus asked, for how many people do you work? Someone said, a really great man is the one who makes others feel great. Man, it was awesome. That relationship with Jesus. And then there was one more relationship that I want to talk to you about this morning. And it's the relationship with Jesus had with Judas. You know, we see during this time right here, Judas followed Jesus. And there was a wave of popularity. I said a week ago, Jesus was popular, man. He was raising people from the dead. He was healing people, and people were coming along. And it got popular, and Judas was in there with them all, and he heard everything that Jesus ever preached, and he saw everything that Jesus ever did. But he never put his faith and trust in Jesus. He was very close to salvation. He was very close to the Savior, but he was lost, and he ended up being lost forever. And I want to tell you something, that Jesus Christ washed Judas's feet too, because Judas was still there at that particular time. He hadn't departed yet. You know, Jesus got down there, and he knew that Judas was the one that was going to betray him. And he got down there, and he washed his feet. He loved Judas. He loved him. Even though he knew. It wasn't like he loved somebody, and then somebody betrayed him later on. He didn't know it. No, he loved him while he knew he was going to betray him. He knew what was in his heart. But he kept showing him that love, and he kept showing him things. Man, you know, you get to thinking, man, how could Judas sit through all this? How could he sit there and let Jesus wash his feet? How could he betray him for 30 pieces of silver? How could he do all the things that he did? What was motivating him? What was wrong with him? Jesus knew the whole time he'd be betrayed. You know, he never told the other disciples. What do you think would have happened to Judas if Jesus had told the other ones, hey, you guys, one of us is a traitor, and I know who it is, and there he is. Huh? Oh, they'd have probably killed him. They'd have killed him, and Jesus knew it. He never told other people that Judas was the one that betrayed him. He never said a thing about it. He knew the whole time. He taught Judas just the same as he taught to others. He gave him time and time and time an opportunity to get saved over and over and over again. He had every opportunity to love Jesus and put faith back in Jesus. What a missed opportunity. The greatest tragedy in all, one of the greatest tragedies in all the Bible is that Judas was there and saw it and was there and saw Jesus in person, walked with him, and man, he still never trusted him. He told him that he loved him, but he didn't. He didn't. He loved something more than he loved Jesus. Amen. Huh? Think about it. Yeah, he loved something more than he loved Jesus. Boy, what a question. What do you love more than you love Jesus? Do you love your time more than you love Jesus? Do you love your money more than you love Jesus? Do you love your own little time where you that you got to do your own thing? Do you love that more than you love Jesus? Got your own little agenda? You love it more than you love Jesus? Jesus taught about covetousness. And still Judas continued to be a thief. In spite of all the teachings on unbelief, Judas persisted in his rejection of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you think Judas was happy? Why do you think that's what he wanted? Doesn't everybody in life want to be happy? Huh? Don't you think Judas wanted to be happy? And he thought if he got just a little bit more money, he'd be happy. He wanted to be happy. Do you think Judas was satisfied with his life? Did he have joy? Did he have peace? Was all well with his soul? Was he walking around in Jerusalem with a big grin on his face where everybody could say, man, Judas, what's going on in your life? You're so happy, what's wrong with you? Nah. Why? He got what he wanted. He got what he wanted. All because he went out. You know what the Bible says? His hour came too. He went out and hanged himself. But he got what he wanted. He wanted that other money. Why did he go out and hang himself? All wasn't well with his soul. He was a tormented man. He had a ruined life, a wasted life, a condemned life, all because he wouldn't trust Jesus and confess his sins and ask forgiveness. Let me tell you this right here quick. Everybody's got a relationship with Jesus Christ. It may be like Peter's at one point in Peter's life where you kind of question the Lord's will or you question the Lord's work or you try to tell the Lord what to do. Or maybe it's like the happy disciples. Maybe you surrendered your life, your will for His. And you found that joy, peace, and happiness and fulfillment. Or maybe your life's like Judas. You're here, but you're just hanging around for one reason or another. And you never come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where He is on the throne in your life. The hour's come. Nobody's here by accident. Every single person's here by appointment. You may think, well, I got myself up and got ready and I did this and I did that. But you know what? Y'all aren't here all the time, are you? But you're here today. You're here today. Maybe today. Maybe this is your hour. Maybe it's time just to get honest with God and confess, you know, and say, what, I've just been hanging around. I don't really have a relationship with you on a day-to-day basis where you're sitting on the throne in my life. Maybe I don't have that. Maybe I've just been faking it. Maybe I fooled myself. Maybe I've just fooled myself all these years. Maybe it's not real. Well, today's the day, brother. The hour's come. Time is short. No guarantee for tomorrow. Lord's coming back one day. God spoke to your heart. You need to get saved. Your hour's come. Let's all stand. Heads back. Eyes closed. If you need to be saved, you get my attention when you come forward. Take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord. Trusting Him for your salvation. Listen, He's willing. He loves you. He loves you so much that He went to that old rugged cross and died for you. Died for you. Knowing that you didn't love Him. Huh? Knowing that you love something more than you love Him. Why don't you come down and tell Him you're sorry? Be honest with God. Get saved today.